George Wallace is a legendary stand-up comedian who is bringing that talent to Austin this weekend for some shows at Cap City Comedy Club. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Go to capcitycomedy.com to snag those tickets. George, thank you so much for the time. How you doing today?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I feel good. Is it morning or afternoon? I don't know what time. I'm on the East Coast, so I'm a little crazy.
You're right there on the edge of morning to afternoon. It's 10 o'clock here, Austin time, and I can't wait for the afternoon because I love when things warm up a little bit. The sun is shining bright right now. It looks like you're going to get some nice weather here in Austin this weekend. I'm curious, for a guy like you who has done so much comedy over the years, how much time have you spent doing comedy here in Austin?
That's a very, very good question. Absolutely no time in Austin. After 47 years of comedy, I was there maybe 30 years ago. I was opening for Tom Jones, but I haven't been back. I do remember it being a beautiful city on the river. And I was always confused, and maybe you can help me out. Is that the Colorado River?
It is the Colorado River, but it's known by a couple different names too. So people will call it Town Lake. People will call it Lady Bird Lake. So even though people in this town refer to it as the lake, it is the Colorado River, yes. So done by
because
you.
Because we have a Colorado River in Las Vegas, and it bugged me. How are there two Colorado Rivers?
Is it not the same river?
How can it be? You're in Texas. How can it get over to Vegas?
Rivers travel, as they say.
But that would be directly across. Is Las Vegas directly across from Austin?
I think it winds a little bit because I believe the Colorado River starts in California maybe, or maybe I'm completely off on that. I didn't make good grades in geography as a kid, George, so I'm probably wrong about that.
Well, we'll have to find that out. That's a job for everybody listening today. Find out, is it the same Colorado River, and does it wind and twig or whatever?
Maybe do a facts check before the end of today's conversation.
Before Friday and Saturday night, have that information for us. And we'll be able to do that in the club, okay?
There you go. So as far as the show that people can expect the unexpected. You go up there, as you've talked about in other conversations, without a game plan. You've got a lot of written material, but you just basically take the night where it takes you. And is that still how you're doing things all these years later?
That's right. That's why I'm coming into Austin tomorrow night. And tonight. I'm coming to Austin tonight, and I'll be there Friday and Saturday at Cap City Comedy Club. Looking forward to having a good time. I've heard nothing but great things about the city. That's why I wanted to come down. And I said, I haven't been to Austin, so much talk about it. And it's supposed to be like the city. I said, well, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere. Let me go to Austin.
Well, the city is, amongst other things, turned into this stand-up comedy mecca, which I'm guessing is part of the reason why you're coming here too. I mean, Cap City opened back up. The Helium people did a great job of building this club out. It is a beautiful club. Joe Rogan obviously has his club here, and there's several other clubs that just have world-class comedians coming in each and every night. This is truly a great town to watch the art form of stand-up being performed.
Well, and the other side is, if you can't laugh in Texas, you can't laugh anywhere. You're not living, okay? You got to laugh in Texas. There's so much to laugh about, and so many religious churches. Let me ask you a question. All those churches in Texas cannot be the First Baptist Church, okay? It's 100,000 first. One of them was brand new last time I was in Texas. How the hell are you going to be the First Baptist Church and you only open 2 months?
At some point, there's got to be a Second and a Third Baptist Church. You're right about that.
It's got to be. So it's crazy. So we're going to laugh in Texas. We're going to talk about your barbecue. We're going to talk about everything, man. I can't wait to get there. Not only me, I got your great Marshall Warfield with me. So it's going to be a double headliner. So that's great.
How long have you and Marsha known one another? Because obviously y'all were hitting it big as comedians back in the late 70s and 1980s. Does your relationship go all the way back to then?
Oh, my God. You said y'all. Y'all.
It's a great word, George. I highly recommend everybody use it.
Y'all means everybody. All y'all, right? That is so cool.
That's right.
So, yes, when I got to California in 1976, Jerry Seinfeld and I pulled up to the comedy store in 1976. Guess who was standing there? Marsha Warfield. So she's been in a little longer than me, but we both are going to be together. She's a great friend, and she's on Night Court right now again. So yeah, that's going to be great to see her at Cap City Comedy Club Friday and Saturday. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday.
So you really hit the ground running with your comedy career. Started in New York, you guys move out to LA, and you were working the Comedy Store regularly once you got there, despite Mitzi Shore saying that you didn't quite have it just yet. You were still getting booked five nights a week. Was there a point where Mitzi finally came around and agreed that you were, in fact, a good enough stand-up comedian to be a paid regular at the store?
Well, you did some research, didn't you? No, let me tell you what. Let me tell you what happened. They said, well, she's dead now, I can say this. They said she was a little off, right? So yeah. I went and I auditioned at the Comedy Store in Westwood. And she was watching me, and I got off stage, and I did such a great job. I went over to talk to her to see what was up. And she says, well, I don't think you're ready yet. You're not ready right now. And, you know, I'm kind of stupid. So the next day, I call in for spots. I got five spots. I said, oh, yeah, she's off. She just told me last night I wasn't ready. And today I get five spots. I said, there's something to, but I've been working there for 47 years since I started at the Comedy Store. It's awesome.
Did Mitzi ever come around with you? Did she finally admit that she was wrong, or at least say, you know what, you are ready now?
I think she made a mistake at the beginning because she was seeing so many people. You cannot tell somebody on a Monday night, an audition night, that they're not ready, and Tuesday morning they have five spots. So she must have been confused. And we became very good friends after that. And, you know, like the Comedy Store today is one of my homes. I was just there last Saturday. There's a kid from Austin, Texas. No, he's from Oklahoma. His name is August Hamilton. And we were the two oldest comedians on the book that night. And we were there when the store started. And that's great. That's great. So, yeah, so she came around. And everybody came around because I never played their games. You know, I played the improv. I did every comedy club in the city. And some comedians could not do that. You can't play this club. You can't play over there. But I did every club. And I just had fun because I'm not for the BS. I just like making people happy and telling jokes.
You've seen so many different incarnations of that club. And the Comedy Store is one of, if not the best comedy club on the planet, just in terms of the history and the talent that's working there each and every night. But for all the good times, there have also been those slow times as well. Considering that you've seen so many different successful eras in stand-up, what does it feel like right now for you just being in this stand-up landscape? Because it does feel like a sort of renaissance in response to people being so bottled up by COVID and whatnot.
Well, it was, for 47 years doing it pretty much every night except for COVID. I'm probably one of the most blessed person you've ever known. And Seinfeld is my best friend for 47 years. And we were talking last night about we are two of the oldest guys that are still around that worked New York City when it first started. And then we went out to LA and we are still two of the oldest guys that still hitting the clubs for no reason whatsoever. We just love what we do. Let me tell you something. And I thank God every night for what living my dream because I choke up because I'm so happy because all I do is lie. I just love to make up stuff. I just love to lie. It is so good. I can't wait to get to Austin and tell the people how happy I am to be there. No, I'm just.
It's what is it? Is that a lie? Is that a lie?
Well, you know, is it? You know what? I get away with anything. I talk about anything. People love it when I just, you know, I'm going to do some new jokes, and it's going to be fun. And if I lie, it's a good lie. Everybody lies. Everything in life is a lie. Since you grew up from the Easter Bunny, is it a chicken, a bunny? That's always been a lie. But, you know, whatever we do, you go to church, especially in the black church, the preacher will tell a lie. First thing a black preacher will say is, I won't be long. Flat out lie. We know we got a good hour. He's going to be up there. So everything is a lie. The Cheesecake Factory, I want to talk about that, too, when I get to Austin. You better have one there.
We do have Cheesecake Factory. We may have multiple Cheesecake Factories here in Austin, as a matter of fact.
Well, see, that's a lie. It ain't no factory. That's a restaurant. You see, that bothers me. I'm going to talk about that stuff. I'm going to talk about it. Do we know anybody that ever won the Publishers Clearinghouse? I'm going to talk about that stuff, okay?
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait to hear the crowds laugh at that sort of thing. Now, you've said that if you're not lying, you're not living. You've also pointed out that life is a sales job, George, and you were really good at selling back in the day before you did finally get into stand-up as your full-time gig. You sold ShamWows before they were known as ShamWows back in the early to mid-1970s. You eventually move into advertising as well. I'm curious for you as somebody who is so good at selling, because this is a predicament that I'm going through myself right now. What is the key to selling well?
Who the hell are you? How did you find this information? Yeah, I sold Rags before I started. I sold the Chemwild before it even had a name. It was number 4182. That was the name of the Chemwild. And it was blue when I sold it. And so I sold Rags. You'd be surprised how many people need Rags, from restaurants to funeral homes to garages, mechanics. And one day I made $3,500 selling a disposable new cloth, which is now called the Chemwild, to Earl Scheib, the painting, the autocorrect. That's what I would call a car repair company, autocorrect. See, my head goes everywhere. but yeah.
George, you're so quick that I'm pretty quick too. You go past me sometimes. So kudos to you on that one. You're too fast. You're too good, man.
The head is always moving. Look, the sales thing, everybody's in marketing, whether you like it or not. A school teacher's in marketing when she sells the study, the lessons on the board. Right now, you're doing a good job at selling. We're in media, and that's what it's all about. I just love what I do, selling laughter, because laughter is the greatest medicine in the world. I'm coming in. I'm not even on Thursday, but I'm going to go to Joe Rogan's club on Thursday night to say hello. I don't know Joe. Do you know Joe? I got to meet him. I got to say hello to him while I'm there.
I don't, but I know people at that club. Have you already talked to somebody there to ensure that you can get up on stage for a few minutes? Because if not, I'll help you out with that.
I need your help. Okay, let's do that. That'll be wonderful. Would be wonderful. Tell Joe I'm coming.
I will definitely do that. And boy, what a treat that's going to be for the people who are there to see his shows. You could probably do the late show too if you want. I'm not sure who's hosting the late show, but Joe Rogan and Friends goes on at 7 o'clock, and I know they would find a few minutes for you if nothing else. So
I think they would, because we're great comedians, and we're all comedians like good comedians, you know. And he knows I'm prepared. He knows I'm ready. So it's going to be fun. It's just going to be fun in your city. I just heard too many good things about your city, man. So many good things about Austin.
So in your opinion, what makes for a good salesperson, or what makes for a good sell?
First thing you got to do is smile.
That's hard for me. I've got resting dick face, George, as I've been told by too many people. I look like I'm in a bad mood even when I'm in a great mood.
Yeah, I'm looking at you right now. I'm going, this is going to be tough. Don't worry about it. But being yourself, sales is the greatest thing. It's another term for bullshit. Yeah. I don't know if I can say that on the show, but that's all marketing is, another term for BS. And it's amazing, but I love it. And I tell you what, I got the greatest job in the world. I can't wait to go up and do some sales tomorrow night and Friday and Saturday in your city. And I'm looking for some good barbecue too. That's another lie. Texas claimed they got the best barbecue in the world. They always do.
There's different great barbecues. If you're talking about best brisket in the world, Texas does it better than anybody. And I'd be happy to send you a recommendation for a place or two. Styles Switch, which is pretty close to where you're going to be staying in the Domain near Cap City Comedy Club.
Okay.
Excellent barbecue. And you're not usually having to wait in those 2 to 3 hour lines either. I don't know about you, but I have a line abhorrence, George. I don't like waiting in line for anything. Certainly food, certainly barbecue in Texas, where there's so many great options. You don't necessarily need to wait in a 3 to 4 hour line to find good brisket somewhere in this city.
Are you trying to tell me somebody waits in line for 2 hours to eat?
Not even kidding you, dude. It's mind-blowing to me. People wait in hour-long lines to get fast food burgers at In-N-Out or Whataburger or P. Terry's. Meanwhile, the parking lot is empty. You could park your car, walk inside, and get that same food in 5 to 10 minutes.
Isn't that the truth? On the best drive-in service, the best people that work in those fast food restaurants are at Chick-fil-A. You know there's more Chick-fil-A's in the state of Texas than any other state. And I'm from Atlanta. So that's saying a lot. But one good thing about the employees at Chick-fil-A, I hope they hear me. Maybe they give me a free sandwich. They're the nicest people in the world. I don't know where the hell they get to. You can go to Chick-fil-A on a Saturday night at 10:49 and be in the drive-thru. When you get up to the window, they say, "I'm sorry, sir. We close at 11. And you go, "But I've been waiting in line, sir. I'm sorry. We close at 11. And you can curse them out, "You ugly bastard. And they will say, "It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure." That's all they'll say. But I'm telling you, don't you try this at Popeye's. Oh, don't you try that at Popeye's. Ooh, they're ready to kill you. They'll dip you in the hot grease at Popeye's. Everybody's mad over there.
You'll end up on World Star Hip Hop Video Fights is what'll happen if you try and do that at Popeye's.
Popeye's is mad when you order. What do you want? It's just crazy. But we're going to have some fun in Texas. I'm telling you that right now. And I've been to the big cities, Dallas and Houston. Joel Osteen is a good friend of mine. Do you guys sell Visine in Texas?
Do we sell Visine? We absolutely do. Yeah, Clear Eyes too.
But does Joel Osteen know about that?
Why do you ask?
He's somewhere blinking right now. You have seen Joel Osteen? He's blink. Why does he blink so much?
It's great. You're right. He probably has dry eyes, or maybe he's maybe some people they blink when they lie. Maybe that's a part of it.
Oh no, you didn't. No, you didn't. They blink when they that wasn't saying they if they're blinking, they're lying, huh?
Oh man, I blink a lot, so I hope that's not true, because I can fashion myself as a pretty honest person.
You're coming close. That's the first sign of somebody lying. If they say to be honest, look out. To be honest, look out.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask you this. You want the God's honest truth? Look out. How about the courtrooms? Why do they have Bibles in the courtroom? That's why we're here in the first place, right? Somebody's lying. I can't wait to try these new jokes out. I have my legal pad with new jokes on it right here. I keep my legal pad. If they're not on the legal pad, they're not legal. So we're going to be doing a lot of.
I love to see that. I love to see when a comedian brings that. And a lot of comedians bring their phones out now, but I love when somebody brings that pad out where they've got jokes that they're going to try out. Like that, that is a beautiful part of the art form. How about that there?
You know what? We're going to have a good time, because I talk to the audience and I try new jokes and they love it. You know why? Because I'll tell them if the joke doesn't work, I'll just go, joke needs work. They love that. Joke needs work. Very funny. Joke's very funny. Very funny. And then I'll do a joke like this. Joke's funny. Audience sucks. They go berserk when I say that. They go berserk. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you for helping me out. I'll definitely be doing these new jokes. And that's great. Now, because it's getting that time of the year. I have down here weddings. May and June is getting ready for weddings and graduations. People want stuff for free. Housewarming. I'm sick and tired of these housewarming. People want me to, they bought a house, they want me to furnish it. BS. Not going to happen. Weddings. I'm tired of going to weddings too. I'm going to talk about that. Everything.
Hey, so considering how good a friend you are with Seinfeld, George,
yeah,
have you spent time around Larry David? And if so, do you have a classic Larry David story, considering that he is one of the all-time characters at this point?
Well, Larry is different. And we went to a ball game together and last year. He's just different. And I've known him for 47 years also. I don't have a classic story of him except going to the baseball game when it's 39 degrees outside and he has no coat. Then I got to give him my coat. He looks stupid and he's still complaining. And we were inside. but he's crazy like everybody else. A lot of fun. And the show is just, you know, I wish I was on the show, because those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. There's always complaining about anything, going to somebody's house. People want to show you their house. I don't want to see your house. I don't want you to come to my house either. It's just, his head is my head. And we're the same age, Larry and I.
It's a house. We've all seen the house, unless there's something very special, unless there's like a man cave or something. And even then, that's been done time and time again. We've all seen the inside of a house before. We don't need to go on the grand tour.
We don't need to see the baby. We don't need
That's some classic Seinfeld shtick right there, too, isn't it?
Right.
You run the
he
risk if you show people the baby of them having to see a really ugly baby.
He got all of that from me. I told him everything he knows.
Is that right? Well, you're a master then, because that's some epic material. Now, you were in the Comedy Store in the 1980s. I've heard you talk about watching, and this may have been in the 70s, watching Richard Pryor just eat it for 3 to 4 weeks and trying to figure out new material, but he was fearless in doing so. He refused to lean on old jokes to get laughs again because he had to figure out that new material, and that eventually turned into Live on the Sunset Strip. Is that right?
Listen, man, you won't believe that story. Just to go in there, this is not going to work. We wanted it to be good, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work. First week, this is bad. This is bad. Second week, well, it's not as bad as the first week. Third week, it's getting better. And then 2 months later, bam, it's Live on Sunset. And oh my God. From the start to the finish, when they delivered the product, when he delivered the product, it's like, that was amazing. And that's what I like doing, new material and then making it funny. Sometimes it could take you 6 months to make one joke work, you know?
Did that teach you to be a little bit more fearless with that process and to not lean on old material when you knew that there was a need for you to work on new?
You got to work on new. And that's what I love too. Always like that about when I watch Johnny Carson. I thought his funniest moments was when the joke didn't work. Like, okay, you know, the way you handle it. I love that, man. I love doing a new joke that may not work. And it's and I tell the people sometimes it's a new joke. It's not funny tonight. But when you see me 6 months from now, you'll be able to say, and it still ain't funny, you know?
You've also talked about watching Sam Kinison bomb at the store. Considering that you were at the store in the 80s and even the 90s, Bill Hicks is a guy that is beloved in this city and across Texas. Houston native, did a lot of comedy in Austin before moving to New York and L.A. Do you have any Bill Hicks stories out of curiosity?
I don't. I just saw him and I thought he was so great. We worked together at Catch a Rising Star in New York City. I think he did a lot of work in London also, but I did not know a lot about him. I didn't do the regular comedy run. I came up and I did a Tonight Show on a Thursday night. And the next night I was out on the road opening for Natalie Cole. Then I went from Natalie Cole to George Benson to Helen Reddy to Smokey Robinson, then to Donna Summer, and then to Diana Ross. And then I was with Tom Jones. So I wanted to learn how to be a comedian. And I worked on the road for like 10 years before I was back in the Comedy Store. I was lucky to do that. And I was making, even a young guy, I was making $5,000 a week to $15,000 a week opening for them at these venues. And then after 1985, I said, well, let me go and do my own thing. And I did radio and television. And 2004, I decided to go to Las Vegas. My ultimate goal was always just to get to Las Vegas. I never wanted to do TV or movies or anything like that, because back in the 80s, Seinfeld and I, we were talking and we heard about comedians in Las Vegas making $300,000 a year. That's all I wanted to make, 300. That's still good today, right? So I go to Las Vegas in 2004 for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And the president of the hotel says, you ain't going nowhere. And the good thing about it is I did not work for the hotels there. I promoted the show. I owned the show. I did the marketing, the advertising, and shaking hands and kissing babies. I did all of that for 15 years. And I'm the luckiest person in the world. I worked Las Vegas longer than any African-American ever. And then they called me the new Mr. Vegas, and it's just been a great life. I thank God every day for what I do. And I tell people to make sure you honor your essence. Show people you love what you do, and they will come. And don't worry about the money. Money is good, but when you enjoy what you do every night, I'm ready to go to work right now. I just love living. I mean learning. I mean laughing. Yeah.
That's great to hear about loving what you do, and the money will eventually come, because I'm in a bit of a spot right now, unfortunately. But I love what I do. I love having these conversations, and it's an honor to get to speak with people like you. And you're a great testament also to a belief in self based on those Vegas shows, because you were defying supposed logic with how you were going about promoting yourself. Billboards, there were trucks driving around all over the strip. I think you said you had 4 or 5 trucks driving around the strip, and clearly it's paid off all these later. So all the naysayers, all the doubters, they were completely wrong, and you were the one who knew exactly what you were doing and leaning off that old sales and advertising past.
You are good, dude. You know, because I came from the advertising world. When I finished that rag story, I sold everything at Times Square in New York City, the billboards and the spectaculars there. I was vice president of that company. So I knew the advertising tricks. I would go into Las Vegas. I see some open boards. I said, look, I'm going to buy 6 boards, but you're going to give me 4 for free. They said, we can't do that. I said, why not? The board is open. And if you just follow my lead, people will see what I'm doing and you'll get more sales. So then I came up with the idea to put 5 trucks back to back to back to back to back on the Las Vegas Strip. People said, you are so stupid. Why would you put 5 trucks back to back to back to back to back advertising yourself? I said, why are you talking about it?
Exactly.
It got your attention, didn't it? That's why I did it. Yeah. So that was my idea. And now you go to Las Vegas. So many people follow my lead. And it's just great to, it's business too, show and business. So you got to know the advertising skills to make things work.
And you majored in transportation at the University of Akron. And you've admitted that you love traveling. What do you love about traveling, George?
I just love getting on that airplane, and now they got the beds up there. The longer the flight, the better. I just came in from Sydney, Australia. Well, not just came in, but I went down for the Australia Open to watch the tennis. And this year I've only flown 80,000 miles. I'm way behind, but I'm going to add another 1,000 miles when I come to Austin. But I just love flying. The greatest thing about flying, and this is what I teach young people at my show. make sure you travel around the world. As soon as you get out of high school or college, get on an airplane, go to another country, learn other cultures, how people live. It'll the greatest change in your life, and it'll make you the greatest person ever. Alleviates prejudices and all kinds of things. Travel, learn how to live and let live and learn and enjoy your life. It's important because life is backwards. I teach the young people. You hear old people say, when I turn 65, I'm going to retire and travel all over the world. For what? You're too damn old. You got to travel while you're young. I tell the young people, get that stuff out of your system. Go to the nude beaches. Do all of this stuff. I've done it all.
You still get into the nude beaches in Spain every couple of years or so?
No, you're crossing the line. I can't do it now because of the cell phone. I'm getting old. I was looking for my cell phone. I wanted to show you my cell phone, right? I'm talking to you on this. The greatest invention of all time is the cell phone. And you can do anything with it. We're talking to each other. We see each other. We're engaging with each other. And I can buy an airline ticket while I'm talking to you. I can even get in my seat. And last night I ordered my dinner from my flight to Austin on the plane, right? with the cell phone. The cell phone is the greatest.
Airplanes are another, they're on that list of greatest human inventions and innovations, because you consider how many flights are taken and how rare we have accidents and things like that. Although, unfortunately, those things are starting to increase now because Boeing has let the quality of their products slip a little bit.
Yet still, nobody died. It's, the airplane is the greatest. It used to be number one, but this phone is really good now. I can go to Paris right now and on this phone. I can go up in the Eiffel Tower with this phone and take a digital tour right now. I don't have to use the airplane. Airplane used to be my number one greatest invention, but now it's the cell phone for me.
All right, last question.
You can get a degree with this telephone. When we went to school, we had to figure it out with our hands and our head. Now you can do everything. You can actually get the test on the phone before you go take the test.
It's a great thing, but it's also concerning because you wonder if we're becoming too reliant on this technology to where we no longer think for ourselves at a certain point, you know?
Well, that's certainly happening right now. AI is determining the way a lot of people think, politically so, you know? Just think for yourself. Think for yourself and do the right. All you got to do is do the right thing.
And easier the country will be a much easier said than done sometimes.
No, it's not. If you think about it, you just think about it. Even if you're not a Christian or believe in God, you just think, well, what is the right thing to do? It's so simple. That's what's wrong with the country. Think for yourself and just do the right thing. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Bam, just like that. Be nice, be courteous, be respectful. Look how nice you are today.
Yeah, but I'm blinking way too much. So how much of that is sincere and how much of that is bullshit, you know?
Well, listen. I'm gonna go along with sincere today. Okay.
I appreciate that. No, actually, I do try and live a pretty honest life. So I appreciate you noticing that. All right, last question now, George. Because accomplished people.
Wait. Are you sure this is the last question? Because I'll catch you at a booze. I'll catch you in a second doing that. You can't ask me how I'm doing. You can't ask me nothing after this question. Go ahead.
Last question. That it may lead to a back and forth, but this is the last question that I have for you.
It may lead to a back and forth. Go ahead.
I won't ask any more questions. I will not ask you any more questions.
Go ahead.
Last
I like
question. Because accomplished people tend to ask themselves a lot of questions. And typically, there is one overriding question going through that person's head at a given point in time. Considering how accomplished you are, you're one of the all-time greats at comedy. You are wildly successful after nearly 50 years of doing stand-up. Is there that one overriding question that you're asking yourself right now?
No, right now, I'm enjoying life, and that's all I can tell you that. My family talks about this, how blessed I am and how blessed I am to know you today. I met a new friend today. What's bothering me? Nothing bothers me. I just enjoy life. I love life. I love telling jokes. I'm living my passion. And how many people wake up to go to work? The question. I can't even answer the question. I'm so happy. I know what you need to do. You just need to laugh everything off. For any question, laugh it off. That's what you need to do. This is the book I wrote called Laugh It Off. So keep laughing in your life and you can't go wrong. That looks terrible. That's got to be a better shot at that book than that.
I don't know why it's going blurry like that. Laugh It Off is the name of the book, though. When did it come out?
It came out about 2 years ago, and I wrote another book called Bull Twit. You know, I'm pretty big in the Twitter world.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote this during the COVID. Why is it blurry?
I don't know. It's doing an autofocus thing or something. There, back it up a little bit.
Back that thing up.
I don't know. Yeah, there. Well, it shows up for a second and then it gets blurry again. I don't know, but I'll make sure to post pictures on the
cheap ass telephone. I'll send you a photo of it too. Okay.
I appreciate that. There it is, Bolt right there, and that's self. I'm not asking questions, but that is self published by you. So kudos on those things.
Okay. Hey. But this is the most important one.
Laugh it off.
No matter what the situation is, keep laughing your life. Laughter is the greatest medicine in the world. Laughter is free medicine. That's why we encourage people to overdose on laughter and keep it in the reach of children. And when you start laughing for more than 4 hours, then you call your doctor and give the doctor the same prescription so the doctor can laugh along with you. It's good to laugh. Once again, when you stop laughing, you stop living.
Wonderfully said there. He is the legendary George Wallace, going to be at Cap City Comedy Club this weekend. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Go to capcitycomedy.com. Check out the books, Laugh It Off, and Bull Twit. You can find those through his website. Is that georgewallacecomedy.com, George?
There you go, George Wallace. And also this weekend, the great Marshall Warfield will be with me. It's a great show. And I tell you what, you never know who's going to stop by. We got some local comedians that will stop by. We're going to have a good time in Austin.
You know, it's going to be a good show when Marshall Warfield, another legend, is the feature for a guy like George Wallace. George, thank you so much for the time today. Thank you for your sunny disposition. And thank you for all these years of providing people the medicine of laughter, man. I really, really appreciate it. This has been a real honor today.
Thank you so much. Call anytime, okay?
Thanks to Gentleman Jesus for the intro and outro music. Hear more of his work at gentlemanjesus.com. Thanks to you for hanging out. For more of the show and to connect on social media, visit booksonpod.com. We'll talk to you next time on Books on Pod.